This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. We're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday afternoon. And we thank you for tuning into this program that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. And so Pastor Don and I co-pastored our church here in Stuart for a lot of years called Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we've been on the radio for almost 20 plus years. And the time just goes on. So we're honored to be part of WCNO Radio. So we hope you can stay tuned in. As we always tell you up front that if what we're talking about, you can't listen to the whole program, you're out and about or whatever, we do offer CDs, and all we ask you to do is ask the Lord to send us a love offering. Whatever He tells you to do, that you honor that, and we'll be glad to send it out to you. And you could mail that to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and our zip here is 34995. Maybe somebody wants to give an offering not asking for a thing. Just to give us an offering. And so we had a couple surprises this week, didn't we, Pastor Don, in the mail? People sent us an offering, and big offerings, and we just thank God for that. And so if the Lord's showing you to do that, be obedient to Him, you're going to be blessed in whatever you do. We know that. We have to follow what the Lord tells us to do, not what man says. Amen? So we're honored to be here with you. We're going to talk about some interesting things today. Before we do this, though, I'm going to have Donna tell us a couple more things you want to talk about, I know, about our area and where we're having church now and all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
We're having church here on Saturdays in Stuart, Florida at the Alliance Church on Osceola Boulevard. And that's at 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And so we...
On the Sabbath, no less.
On the Sabbath, right on Saturday, today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can come and join us, and we'd be glad to worship with you. And we're celebrating Hanukkah.
That's right.
And we just... thanking the Lord for the light. He is the light. He is the light. He's the light that lights every light. Amen. So we just are blessed to be on here today. And so we pray that you will enjoy this teaching and you will learn something. That's what we're supposed to do, learn, right? Teach,
right.
Train, and activate. So the services are this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church here in Stuart, Florida. And that's on Osceola Boulevard. And that's 445 Osceola Street or Boulevard.
Good landmark. It's right next to the hospital almost, isn't it? Huh?
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So we're glad to be here. We're honored to be here with you. And we're going to talk about the time called Hanukkah. And we got Margie Sweeney here with us today as well. And so this is an important time. But, you know, the church doesn't talk much about this. I've had people tell me over the years as I study this was, well, that's a Jewish thing, Pastor Gene. That's not for us. That's a Jewish thing. Well, it might have been a Jewish thing to start with. But, you know, the word Hanukkah means something very special in the Hebrew. What does it mean? It means dedication. And so we should all be thinking about all the time about having ourselves totally dedicated to the Lord to do what He has us to do. And we're here for a purpose. We know that. And so this is an important time. And we know even our Savior, Messiah, Yeshua, we can see in John chapter 10 over there. We might go over there and start over there and read over there that He honored all the things that God had put in place. And by the way, this time called Hanukkah that we're going to talk about, we see in Daniel and all, it was all prophesied and put in place for the future 408 years before it happened. Did you hear that? 408 years before it happened, showing us that God knows everything, the end from the beginning and everything in between. That's why I talk about the 7,000-year program that God has for the church and for Israel. He's going to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden with Adam. But it's going to take this total time of 7,000 years from beginning to end. And God has this program underway, and all this is being revealed to show us the things that God's going to do in the future. But we can also apply these things to our lives right now. And that's what we've got to remember about all this. And I think about this time called Hanukkah. You know, it had a festival of lights.
Yes.
And so does Tabernacles. So there's a common thread between Tabernacles and Hanukkah. And the interesting thing, we've proven in the past that Yeshua was conceived during Hanukkah, and it's a festival of lights. And we know then you go 280 days to the future, he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also a festival of lights. So we have all these wonderful signs that God's shown us of the timing and all when certain things will happen. But let's start over here in John chapter 10. We probably won't get all this done today, but if not, we'll finish it next week. In John chapter 10, we'll see some interesting things here as we read this. But I want you to remember that Yeshua picked certain times of the year at appointed times to make certain statements, and the Jewish people that were there, they understood what he was talking about because they knew the history and they knew the background, and so they weren't being tricked or fooled. He was telling them something that had maybe already happened or was going to happen. So here in chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 22. Listen to what it says. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. So what is dedication? What does it mean in Hebrew? Hanukkah. So what? It was in the winter time, so it tells us when it is, okay? Now, right now, on the Jewish calendar in Israel, they're celebrating these 8 days of Hanukkah. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, they thought he was kind of beating around the bush. I think he was pretty clear in a lot of places where he spoke this, but they just didn't comprehend it, I guess. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Isn't that a fact? But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Now, this is the next statement is what got the Jewish people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders upset. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again. They wanted to kill him.
Yes.
And Yeshua answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. But for blasphemy, and because if thou being a man makest thyself God. Now we're going to stop right there. Now think about this. There was a man that came in history, and the Jewish people all knew this fellow, and his name was Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, and we're going to talk about him a little bit. But they knew that he was a man that came in and took over Jerusalem and put a statue of Zeus on the Jewish altar there, put his face on it and declared himself to be God, like the false Messiah will do one day. And so they knew the history of all that. And so here was a man saying, I and my Father are one. So they were trying to convey here that he was in a form of blasphemy, because there was a man that came before, did the same thing. And he says, now the Jews are saying you're doing the same thing. But see, he is God. And they couldn't comprehend that he truly was the Messiah. And so he made it quite clear to them. But we see here that he honored the season called Hanukkah. Hallelujah. And so it lasts for 8 days. Who knows? The Bible doesn't show this in the New Testament, but he was probably in the temple area every single day of those 8 days. So what's Hanukkah all about? Well, if we look at the history a little bit, and with Greece, the Grecian history, and what happened in times past, we can see some interesting things that happened. We know that Alexander the Great, you know, he conquered the entire world within 13 years, and he died at a very young age. Well, you know, when he died, Most people would have thought he would have given it to his children, but he didn't. He decided to give his whole empire to four generals that helped him conquer the world. Mm-hmm. There was one in the north, the south, the east, and the west. Well, the Bible only talks about the north and the south. The north was called Seleucid, was his name, and became the Seleucids. The southern group was Egypt, and they were called the Ptolemies. This was the battle he was wanting us to convey. And so after he died, well, then there was a struggle. Who was going to be in charge? Well, we know that the Grecian Empire and that northern kingdom was the strongest, and so they basically took over, and Seleucid was the man that did all this, and then his son was Antiochus Epiphanes. He was of the Seleucid Empire also, and he came along and he made it even worse than his father did. But we can see this, that the interesting thing is they were both festivals or appointed times of lights. And the story, if you know anything at all about Hanukkah, you should know this, that when the Maccabees, there was a family called the Maccabees, when they took back the temple that had been polluted by Antiochus Epiphanes and his group, the first thing they wanted to do was rededicate the temple because of what happened. Well, they only found one flask of oil, enough to burn for one day. So they lit the menorah, and the miracle was that God kept it running for 8 days, that candle run every day for 8 days. Each day, each candle was added until they could make more oil. That was the miracle of it. So that's why it's called a festival of what? Of lights as well. And then we know that tabernacles is the same thing as well. And so these four kingdoms is interesting that was given to them by Alexander the Great. And if we looked at where they're at today in our world, I'll mention those to you in a minute, but these four empires represented something very powerful back in that day. It was Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Does that sound familiar in our news right now?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe that what I understand with it, that out of the 10 nations it'll be there in that coalition at the end, during Jacob's trouble, will consist of Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Well, we got in the news right now. They'll be part of it because these were the four people that this empire was given to. And we know after Alexander the Great, what happened? The Romans took over, didn't they? But let's talk about Hanukkah because I think it's a very important time to remember, and especially about dedication. So somebody might be listening right now saying, well, how can we apply this to our life? What's good to talk about this stuff that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago? Well, it was an application for you and I to dedicate ourselves continually, not just once a year, but continually. But this was a terrible thing that happened in the temple, and so they had this time that they had to rededicate it. And I don't know if we'll get time to share this or not, but we're going to find out as we study this out, and I spent a lot of years studying this, that when the temple's rededicated in the millennial kingdom, this is the beauty of it, because the false Messiah will come and desecrate the temple that's going to be built just like Antiochus did in his day. It has to be rededicated. Well, guess who will be there? You and I that are believers will be there. You know when it'll be dedicated? During the time of Hanukkah, and you can prove it in the book of Ezekiel. We probably won't get there today, but maybe we'll get to that point next week. But it's important to understand this. So God's showing us some history here to put in our hearts to know that we're serving a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, whether anybody wants to call him that now or not, but he truly is. He's our Messiah, and he's given all this for us, for our admonition, and also to understand what's going to happen. Wasn't the Holy Ghost given us to teach us all things and also tell us things to come? Well, this was all, think about this. This was all spoken about before it came to being from Daniel's time. It was 408 years before it was manifested. So, I mean, it just shows you how powerful God is. But let's look at something here now. I want to go over to the book of Daniel with you. Chapter 8, and we're going to look at a couple of things here that I think will be very helpful. I'm going to get a chart out of my book. If you don't have this book of mine, it's available for a love offering of $25, and you can make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, and we'll be glad to get you one of these books out. And I have a whole chapter, quite a few pages. I read it all again this morning twice, just to refresh myself as well, because you can't remember everything you were told. How many of you know that? you know, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, but you don't remember everything. So isn't it nice to take notes? When I first got saved, I wouldn't write my Bible. I thought it was sacrilege to write anything in my Bible. Well, now later on, I realized God wants me to mark this Bible up, and I got stuff marked all over the place now so that I can find things, and it helps me remember what God wants me to have to be said at a particular time. And so we're going to look at all this with you. So we took you over to Daniel chapter 8, and I'm going to read some verses here with you. And I'm going to start down here in verse 5 of Daniel chapter 8. Let's read a little bit here. And Daniel says, "And as I was considering, behold, a great goat came from the east on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Well, we're going to find out the goat is who? It's going to be Greece. And he came to the ram. Who was the ram? This was the Medes and the Persians that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto them in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram. Who's the him here? This is the great horn. This is Alexander the Great. And he was moved with choler, means at rage against him, and smote the ram. Didn't he conquer the Medes and the Persians and break his two horns? And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. And he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now we're getting to where I was talking about a moment ago. These four kingdoms that Alexander the Great gave to his generals that helped him conquer the world.
And who was the goat?
The goat was Alexander the Great.
Yes. Okay.
The Grecian king.
And he became great.
And he died at a very young age. And out of one of them, well, let's go back. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, the he-goat, this is Alexander the Great, waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, out of one of these four kingdoms, came forth a little horn. Now, this is talking about Alexander the Great, but the kings that were going to come out of this kingdom, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land.
Israel.
And so this is talking about Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth. Now, by the way, he tagged this on his name, Antiochus the Fourth, and he put Epiphanes. What that meant in the Grecian Empire with the language was God manifest. He thought he was God. And as we look at all this, we'll see that when he took over, he went into the Jewish temple. He took a statue of his God, which was Zeus, put his face on that. Can you imagine that? He urinated on the altar, and he polluted the temple completely. This is what he did in that day.
In Jerusalem,
on God's altar. Now, verse 10, "And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them." Okay, who is this? This is talking about Antiochus. "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him..." Now, this is the key thing. We're going to see three things mentioned here. It makes this very key to understand. "Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him," this means an army, "against the daily sacrifice," here's the second time, "by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground." See, they didn't want any truth. Mm-mm. "And it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice," here's the third time, "and the transgression of desolation." What's the transgression of desolation? It's, the King James calls it, over in the New Testament, the abomination of desolation. That's what Antiochus put on the altar, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And so we see some interesting things with this as we think about what happened in that day as a foreshadow to what the false Messiah is going to do as well. Now let's go on here and look at something here. Now we go to verse 14. "And he said unto me," to Daniel, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now remember, in the Jewish understanding, days represents what? It goes what? Evening and morning. And what do they have to do? They had to sacrifice a burnt offering every single day at 9 in the morning and at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So God was kind of upset with us, but he's talking about 2,300 days. Now, if we look at verse 26 in this chapter, it kind of gives you the clue of this. It says, the vision of the evening and the morning, here you are, which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And this is when Daniel felt like he was going to faint. Verse 27, And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days afterward. I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. But see, we can understand it today, can't we? Because it's all come to pass. See, this was spoken in his day 408 years before the event happened, okay? Isn't that amazing? Now, what we got to think about with this, you know, I've heard this taught many times about this 2,300 days. It's probably talking about the tribulation period. Well, the tribulation period is going to be 2,520 days. So God doesn't miss by one day, let alone that number of days. So I did some research where I studied this, and it took a lot of time. And so this is what I decided to do, to look at it a little bit further. What God was telling the Jewish people, and for you and I to know, that there was 2,300 sacrifices that was failed to be burnt on the altar during this time that Antiochus Epiphanes was in charge. And so we want to determine the number of days. So how many days would that be? So we take the 2,300 days, evening and morning, and we have to divide it by two, because we have what? Two offerings every single day. And remember, we talked about these three things that was mentioned here. The daily what? Sacrifice. The daily sacrifice. So that comes up with 1,150 days. Now, I used to read Josephus' writings, and by the way, he was a historian that lived during the time that Jesus was alive, and he knew that he was more than a man, and he made a comment and talked about it in his writings about Hanukkah, that it lasted for 3 years. Well, it did last for 3 years. We're going to find as we study this, it lasted a little longer than 3 years to show you and I when it all began and also when it ended. That's what God wants you and I to know. Amen?
Amen.
So what I did was this. He said it lasted for 3 years. So how many days is in a Jewish calendar? 360 days. Mm-hmm. So I took 360 plus another 360 plus another 360, which would be 3 years, comes out to 1,080 days. You can add those numbers up yourself, okay? Well, the key thing is 1,150 days, we take 1,080 on here, which is the, you know, the days we're talking about, and we subtract that from this 1,150 days or sacrifices that were missed. You know, or I mean days, not sacrifices. So as a period of 3 years, and it comes out, there's an extra 70 days left over. So I'll say it again. We can take the 1,080 days, which is actually 3 years on the Jewish calendar, okay? That's their 30-day prophetic calendar. And we know that there was 1,150 days because we divided 2,300 sacrifices by two, all right? So 1,150 days equaled 3 years. And so when you take the 1150 and take 1,080 days away from that, what do you have? There's another 70 days. So for months, for a long time, I kept asking the Lord, what in the world are those other 70 days all about? They're not this there by chance. Now, Josephus, you know, he just kind of rounded it off as 3 years, but it was 3 years and 70 days for our benefit to let you know how accurate God is. So as I studied this, I thought, Lord, what does this all mean? And so he had me draw a chart, like in my book. If you get the book, you got the chart. And my wife made a chart. This is the chart he had me draw on my desk one day, okay? And so this is what he told me to do. And the chart has all this information right on the top of it for you to look at if you order the book, okay? And we see that what the Lord told me, he says, go to the day that the institution of Hanukkah and the temple was rededicated. That was on Kislev 25. And it was on in the year 164 B.C. So remember, B.C., we have to go, the numbers get bigger when we back up, right? So he said, back up 1 year. What do you come to? 165 B.C. at Kislev 25 again. He says, back up the third year. And you come to Kislev 25, and it's in 166 B.C. Then he says, well, I want you to back up another year now. It'll take you to 167 B.C. on Kislev 25. This is when Antiochus desecrated the temple with the abomination, okay? And, of course, we know the sacrifices were all taken away and all that. And then we have the other 70 days. And so I did this. I can do this. You can do this on any calendar. but especially on a Jewish calendar. If you go from Kislev 25 on any calendar, and you back up 70 days, you know what you'll come to? You're going to come to the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Isn't that awesome? Yes. So God was showing us the day that Antiochus came in, stopped all the Jewish faith, their belief system. They couldn't read the Torah. They couldn't do anything. He nullified everything that they were doing. So that was at Feast of Tabernacles. And those 70 days later, Antiochus desecrated the temple. So these were two events that happened, what, 70 days apart. So this is the whole story right here about Hanukkah. And so I wrote this note at the bottom on this chart, and if you get the book, you'll have it. I said, as Antiochus Epiphanes foreshadows the Antichrist, we see God's establishment of Hanukkah, or dedication, which gives a picture of the rededication of the temple in the latter days. Hear that? Mm-hmm. When's the latter days?
Now.
Yeah, and once we go through Jacob's trouble, it's going to be done again in the kingdom of God. The temple in the great tribulation, which is Jacob's trouble, will be anointed and rededicated on the very same day that Judas the Maccabee rededicated the temple in his day, Kislev 25 of the year 164 BC. That's all in history. And so Daniel 12:12 gives the exact number of days. The numbers it gives us is 1,335 days from mid-tribulation to the rededication of the temple on Kislev 25. Here now, it is exactly 75 days from the Day of Atonement. So we got something to think about here a little bit with this. This is a foreshadow.
Now you have several charts in that book, don't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go to chart 6 now to help you see this a little bit. Because it's a foreshadow of what's going to happen in the future. Now we know if we read Daniel chapter 12, it's quite clear there. It's referring to what? The last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble. So those 1,335 days has to start from Passover at mid-tribulation, the last 3.5 years. It's revealed in Daniel over there, okay? So I got this chart, shows the whole thing, shows all this put in place for us to understand this. And so what we see here, if we look at Passover, Passover is actually from Nisan 10 to what? To the 14th, because that's the day they laid up the lamb, so that's part of it. So if we go from Nisan 10 at mid-trib, and we go 1,335 days, this is in Daniel 12:12, we'll come out to Hanukkah, which is Kislev 25 on that particular year. So that takes care of those other 70 days. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And it's all on this chart. It shows you this. Because remember, from mid-trib until the Jesus comes back, which is on the Day of Atonement, is 1,260 days, Revelation 13:5. Okay? And then Purim is 30 days prior to Passover. So then we have another 30 days. That gives us the 1,290 days as talked about in Daniel 12:11. It's all here. It's right there. So everything has to be based on what? On God's appointed times and how they all fit in. Amen? Amen.
So that's what this book is about that the Lord gave you. It's called the Feast of the Lord.
That's right.
Or the prophetic timetable, or mm-hmm. what would you call it? Prophetic calendar.
Right.
And so what you're talking about is all the different feasts that the Lord has put in place, and then even like you're talking about Hanukkah and Purim as well.
That's right. They're all going to be honored during Jacob's trouble, and especially during the kingdom.
And Antiochus came in and he stopped the most joyful
time of the year,
feast or holiday mm-hmm. that the Jewish people have.
That's right.
Which was what? The Feast of Tabernacles.
Uh-huh.
And so that was stopped, and that's also a festival of lights, isn't it?
Yep.
Just like Hanukkah is a festival of lights.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you might want to show that book, Pastor Gene, and it's $25 plus mailing cost, and you would be glad to mail it out to you. But all the feasts of the Lord are in this book, all of them, every one of them.
That's right.
Plus there's other things here and here as well, and also the charts. Pastor Gene has put a lot of time and a lot of prayer and a lot of work into this book to help people
a lot of years
to understand the feast of the Lord, not just to know the feast of the Lord, but to know how they line up with the timetable of the plan that God has for the temple, for what's happening in Israel, for what's happening around the world, for all these things line up with the feast of the Lord. It's not just by accident or by any. God has a plan,
but he expects us to be a studier, to be a Berean, and we can dig these things out. I want you to turn, somebody turn to Deuteronomy 29:29. That's a very important verse.
Right.
God gives us a little bit, but if we just ask him with the Holy Ghost, he'll show us truths that'll come out of this that people have never taught on for years. I never heard this taught about Hanukkah for years and years, and finally a man talked a little bit about it. It was Joseph Good when he used to be on TV years ago, and he talked a little bit about it. But when I got studying, I says, Lord, there's so much in this that's not even talked about just in the Bible, but we can look at it and we put it all together and we can see it. Read Deuteronomy 29:29.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
There you go. So it's all been put in place. So an interesting thing, we know that Daniel talked about it three times here in when we read in chapter 8 about the abomination of desolation and the daily sacrifice has been taken away. So if we go over to Daniel chapter 11 now, we can see this same thing again. And this is going to repeat. Now, I'll offer this for you. Now, we know this is not canon, but if you can get the book of Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, it's a historical book like Josephus was. It'll tell you all the events that happened, and you can look these things up, and I'll give you a few scriptures here in a moment that comes out of that those books, and you can look at it. And I have a set of books at home called the Pseudepigrapha that has all these books in it, and you can look all these things up. But you can buy just the part that I'm talking about, Maccabees. I believe it was in the Catholic Bible years ago.
It may still be in the Catholic Bible.
It may still be there. But if we go to Daniel chapter 11, I want you to look at, starting in verse 30, I'm going to read two verses here. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence. That means he's going to show regard with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. A lot of the Jews are going to turn from the Lord when this all happens, or when it did happen. It's already happened. Now here's the key verse. An arm shall stand on his part. Who are we talking about now? Antiochus. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, here you are again, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And this, if you want to look this up, this is in 1 Maccabees chapter 1, verses 56 through 61, if you want to get it and read it, okay?
So what you were talking about when Jesus, they thought he was blaspheming.
Right.
Right, and so they remembered what happened
back
here.
What happened with this man, that's right.
With Antiochus Epiphanes, right?
Right.
And how he came in and destroyed the temple.
That's right.
And you think about it, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and many people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, many of them probably also felt that here, this is happening again. Here's someone else.
That's it.
Coming to say that they are their God.
Mm-hmm.
But thank the Lord, Jesus is God, amen.
And
but they didn't believe, they didn't understand, they remembered the terrible things that had happened to them. How many hundred years was it before that?
It was 408 years before it began to manifest. That's when Daniel spoke all that and wrote it down. Isn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. 408 years before it ever even manifested.
And they remember that because, you know, they didn't have Hanukkah before that.
Nope.
Hanukkah started at that time because of the miracle of the oil,
how
it lasted for, there was only enough bound for one day, but it lasted for eight days. And so, you know, when Jesus talked about that dedication, when you talked about what you read in John chapter 10, he celebrated Hanukkah. So why shouldn't we as well? Because that's a special time, but you haven't mentioned as of yet. I don't know if you're going to mention it, but
go ahead. Yeshua
was conceived at this time.
That's right.
At Hanukkah.
We mentioned it early up front. Yeah.
He was conceived at this time. So
that's right.
That is a miracle. That's
sure
a
is.
Miracle because he is the light of the world. Amen.
That's right. So he was conceived at Hanukkah and then he was born during Tabernacles. And so this whole vision we had that God showed here showed what Antiochus did. He stopped everything the Jews were doing on the first day of Tabernacles. This is the day in the future that the Messiah would be born, I believe, from the scriptures. Amen?
And didn't they all try to stop the birth of Christ.
Sure,
they
did.
Tried to kill him.
Yeah.
They killed all
King Herod tried to kill all the babies. Yeah.
The babies, a lot
That's
of
right.
the male babies.
Yeah. Now, we read this verse 31 here in chapter 11 about the daily sacrifice. Now, this is an Antiochus' day. Now, if you go over to chapter 12, look at verse 11 in chapter 12 of Daniel. And from the time that the daily sacrifice, here we go, shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days that we talked about a little bit ago. So this one in chapter 11, verse 31 is in Antiochus's day. Chapter 12 in verse 11 is referring to what? The last days in the Jacob's trouble. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? So he's showing us the patterns and how it's going to repeat itself again in the future. And it makes it clear that chapter 12 here is certainly the last 3.5 years. If you look at verse 7, at the very end of the verse, he asked how long. He said it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. A time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and a half is a half a year. So there's your 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So this is referring to the very end. So God's revealing all this to us, so we're going to know. We're not going to be fooled by all this. It's going to come down the pike, you know. And we got so much stuff being taught and spoken, and a lot of stuff is not truth, you know. Somebody said one not long ago that we're in Jacob's trouble right now, are we? We're not in Jacob's trouble yet. It hasn't happened. The peace treaty hasn't even been signed yet. And so we see all these things, but God wants us to know the truth about Hanukkah and the dedication that's there. And it's amazing when I think about what he's done with all of it. Just gives you shades and shadows of things to come. Amen? So verse 11 here in chapter 12, I'm going to read it again. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and, see this and, it's a conjunction. These are two events happening at different times. Okay. And the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. There's an additional 30 days from the time of Passover. So what's 30 days prior to that? We have what? What comes 30 days before Passover? Purim.
Okay? Amen.
So God's going to honor that, okay?
That's in the book of Esther.
That's in the book of Esther. That's right. So that'll be honored. And then he says, blessed is he that waiteth. There's going to be people that's going to survive Jacob's trouble that know the Messiah, and they'll come to the 1,305 and 30 days, 1,335 days. They're going to be blessed because you know why? Because that's when the temple's going to be dedicated again. I'm about ready to jump out of my chair right now. God's going to do it on the exact same days. He don't do anything by mistake.
No.
Rededicate it.
Yeah. And then verse 13, the last verse in Daniel says, but go thou, talking to Daniel, thy way till the end. It means till the end of his life. For thou shalt rest. It means he's going to die and rest. Hallelujah. We're all going to rest somehow, whether we're caught off the earth or we die. And stand in thy lot. Stand means to be resurrected at the end of the days. So he's going to be resurrected. When will Daniel be resurrected? At the last Rosh Hashanah, I believe with all my heart, on Jacob's trouble, the last one, because he's part of it. So who's going to come out of it? No catching away again, just a resurrection. All the Old Testament saints that walked righteous with God will go. Who else? All the Christian martyrs that received Jesus Christ during the 7 years of Jacob's trouble will what? And die. They will be there'll be a resurrection as well. And there'll be a huge group that'll survive that in their physical bodies, and they will go into the kingdom in their body. That's what he's talking about right here. Huh? Till the end of the days. And Daniel's going to be there as well because he'll be resurrected. So we're going to see all this. And so, you know, I've looked at all these commentaries I've had for years about Daniel 12 and 11, and you get all these funny little answers that don't fit in. But see, when you hook it up with God's appointed times, mm-hmm. what he put in place, everything's going to revolve around that for the church as well. Now, he has a program going for the ecclesia, the church, Jew and Gentile and Messiah, but he's also got a program going for Israel. He's going to end the one, he's going to start the other. It's quite clear in the Word of God. And so it's amazing what we have here. And so we got to keep all this in mind. So God gave this to us for a reason. You know, I've heard preachers on TV and radio over the years, my years with the Lord, said there's nothing in the First Covenant that tells you anything about Hanukkah. Daniel chapter 8 gives you the whole picture right there. It's right there. It's how it was established. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I'm glad. So it's an important time. Now, the other interesting thing we might talk about a couple minutes, and then we'll say the rest of it for next week, is if you look at what happened with Antiochus Epiphanes, after Alexander the Great died, and that kingdom was divided in these four sections, we find out from history that there was eight kings that came out of the Seleucid Empire, which was the northern group, up to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the eighth king. He was the last one that God talked about in Daniel. He didn't talk about those other 134 years or so after that about any of the kings from the Seleucid Empire at that point in time. Why would he do that? I'm going to give you a clue, and I'm going to turn it over to my wife. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 17 with me. This is to show you something right here. And you'll hear a lot of things taught about the book of Revelation that maybe is not necessarily true. I happened to open up my commentary that I got before me and this morning, and I read the last chapter that I have in here called The Conclusion of All Things. Boy, I mean, it just set me on fire again to know how it's all going to come down, and we're not going to be fooled by anything. But if we go to Revelation chapter 17, tells us about the harlot that's going to be destroyed, which is the religious system, okay? And then chapter 18 is going to be what? The manufacturing, the produce, the agriculture, the trading of goods from one nation to another is all in here. And so God wants us to look at both of them, because both of them will be destroyed. But I want to look at chapter 17 with you for a moment. Now, people want to hook this up with the Catholic Church, but I think there's a lot more involved than the Catholic Church. I'm going to start in verse 3 of Revelation 17 for a few minutes here. So he carried me away in the spirit. Who's the he here? John was carried away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. We haven't talked about that. It'll be another time. And the woman, this is later is going to be called the mother, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So she had on what? Purple and scarlet. You know, the Roman kings wore purple and scarlet and all that. So this woman will take us, if you study the history in the Bible, takes us all the way back to the Tower of Babel. When that they tried to have a world empire put in place at that particular time. That was the foundation of all this, how it all came into place. Now, verse 5 says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother. You notice the mother is singular, mm-hmm. Okay, of harlots. What's harlots? It's plural. She's the one that produced all the false religious systems down through history that started from the Tower of Babel and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, this is the mother, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, this is the mother, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and 10 horns. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. See how far I want to go here. It's all right. All right, verse 8, the beast, now we're talking, the beast here is the Antichrist, that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So that means if he came out of the bottomless pit, a human being is not going to come out of the bottomless pit. Some man is going to have received power in that particular day from the enemy, and there's going to be a spirit that's going to come out of the bottomless pit that's going to take him over. And he's going to go into perdition, it means he's going to be destroyed. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast. Remember, the beast that was and is not and yet is. The beast that was. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. And he's not talking about physical mountains. He's talking about kingdoms on which the woman sitteth. She sat on all these kingdoms from the beginning with the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. She rode on all these kings, and there are seven kings. If you got a kingdom, you got to have a king. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Well, think about this. It says, in five are, which ones were fallen? The original five were who were they? Egypt,
yes.
Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, and the Greeks. Those five had all fallen, and one is. Who was the one that he, in this day, Huh? It was the Greeks. Huh? And the other is not yet come. So the Romans were involved with all this as well. And when he cometh, he must what? Continue a short space. Hallelujah. So five are already, when John wrote this from the Spirit of God, five of them are already fallen. I told you wrong on that. The one is not Greece, it's Rome.
Yes.
Okay. So let's do it over. These are the five that had fallen. Okay. Hallelujah.
Yes, Father.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Assyria, Babylon,
yes.
The Medes and the Persians, the Greeks. And who came after the Greeks? The Romans. Those five, okay? And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Now here's your key, what we read in Daniel. Remember, Antiochus was the eighth king that came out of the Seleucid Empire. And the beast that was and is not, even he is what? The eighth. So this gives me a picture. The first 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble is going to be the seventh kingdom. And it's going to come under peace and all that when it starts. And then when the beast or the false Messiah takes over, the last 3.5 years will be what? The eighth kingdom. That'll all be there. Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm still looking at this. I think I still told you that wrong.
About, oh, dear.
About these five that are... The five that were fallen had to be Egypt. Okay? Who came after them? The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians. And who came after them? The Greeks. Those were the five that were fallen. And the one that is right here when he wrote was what?
Rome.
He was under the control of Rome. That time. Okay? So there's a clue why God gave us about Hanukkah and show us that he is the eighth king and God never mentioned another king after him, because he wants you to relate with how what happened with Antiochus is going to be done again with a false Messiah, but he's going to do much more than Antiochus ever did. Amen? All right, Pastor Don.
And so Margie's going to share in a minute, but I'm just going to go back to John chapter 10 for a moment.
Okay.
Because we're talking about truth. If you all read all of John chapter 10, which we don't have time to do that, we know that the sheep hear the Lord's voice.
Absolutely.
But we know that all those that were before, like you said, like for instance, Antiochus Epiphanes, they were liars and robbers.
That's right.
And thieves. But Jesus said that, you know, at this time of dedication in Jerusalem, where it says, and it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was
in the winter.
Says it's in the winter. So we know that Jesus or Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah. And if you look at his book, perhaps you want to hold your book up, Pastor Gene. All these feasts of the Lord are in this book, and Hanukkah is one of them. Well, actually, it's not one of the... Not an appointed time. But it's an important time, because if we understand it and we look at Daniel and we look at the numbers that you spoke about, and they really need the charts to be able to see that, what Daniel was really talking about with all the numbers and the days and that you talked about. But, you know, Jesus was here, and he was in Solomon's temple on the porch, Solomon's porch. And the Jews came, I'm going to look what it says in verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto them, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, he was telling them plainly. He was telling them that he was the Christ. He said he was the door, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said that anyone who entered in, they'll be saved. So you ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved, and you'll find, you'll go in and out and you'll find pastures. And, you know, he did say that he was, before you talked about in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life. Here it tells us there he laid down his life for us, and that no man can take it from him. He says, but I lay it down of myself. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Well, they didn't understand that there was going to be a resurrection at this time. This commandment have I received of my Father. But I want to go over here where it says, now Jesus, we know he was celebrating Hanukkah at this time, and he was on Solomon's porch. And he went over here and he told them in verse 30, he says, I and my Father are one.
Yeah, that's when they got mad.
Jesus, Yeshua, is God.
And they knew that a man came before him that said the same thing.
And so they were thinking about what had happened those 400 some years earlier about Antiochus Epiphanes and how he destroyed the temple and how he put terrible things in there on that first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So that whole wonderful time, the Feast of Tabernacles, the most joyful time, a celebration in Israel, was stopped. And so the people remember that. And so here I think about Jesus when he came into Jerusalem, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were probably thinking, this is here, this is happening all over again. Somebody's yep. coming and saying that they're
God,
the Messiah.
The Messiah.
Well,
yep.
he really is the Messiah. And so they didn't understand at that time. But Jesus went on to say in verse, I don't have much time to read this. Verse 36, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world. See, there was a purpose and a plan, and
that's
there was
right.
a purpose for the time of his conception, which we believe was at Hanukkah, and the time that he was born, which we believe it was the Feast of Tabernacles, and that he was circumcised on that eighth day, which is rejoicing in the Torah. He is the Torah.
Torah.
And so, you know, I know we're saying a lot, and it may sound a little confusing to some people, but if you get the book and study it, I think you will understand, or you can call Pastor Gene and he'll talk to you. So, Jesus, they thought he was blaspheming, it says here in verse 36. They say,
yeah.
you're blaspheming. And Jesus said that I am the Son of God. He clearly spoke it out and said he was the Son of God, or he is the Son of God.
He gave him the truth, didn't he?
Amen. And then he says in 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not.
Right.
But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works.
That I do.
Amen.
That's right.
Believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Praise
yeah.
God. Praise God. So I just wanted to share that little bit. I know Margie's got a few things to say, and we don't have a lot of time left, but I just thank the Lord for this radio program. And I also want to mention that if you'd like to come to service this afternoon, you can come at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church here in Stuart, Florida. Or you can call us. I haven't given the phone number yet. It's area code 772-285-7007. Okay, Miss Margie.
Praise the Lord. This was very good, Pastor Gene. I enjoyed this very much. And as you said earlier, that it also refers to our lives, things in here and what you shared does account for our life too. What can we do today? And that's where the Lord has brought me to.
Yeah, we must be
this.
Dedicated, right?
Yes. So Hanukkah, as you have said, means dedication.
Mm-hmm.
And also known as the Festival of Lights or the Festival of Dedication, a celebration of rededicating of the Holy Temple, because in 167 BC, a Syrian king, Antiochus of Epiphanes, stormed and plundered the temple.
That's what he did, yeah.
Killing thousands of Jews and forcing them to adopt Greek ideas and a new way of life.
That's right.
Was this a good way?
No way.
Was no way a good life. Mm-hmm. Sacrificing a pig on God's holy altar?
Yeah.
Also on the altar, the abomination of desolation, a statue of Zeus with his face on it, and proclaiming himself to be God. A family of priests called the Maccabees refused to worship the heathen gods. They went to war, a three-year war against Hellenism and its pagan customs. The Maccabees and thousands of Jews joined them. The Maccabees won because God was on their side. The Hanukkah season is an excellent time to rededicate our temples.
Yeah.
This enemy, Satan, is real and fierce. He will stop at nothing to try to bring you defeat and destruction.
Shit.
We are a light in a dark world,
mm-hmm.
encountering obstacles and attacks. So we live in his word and stand on his word of truth, like the Maccabees. Know that God is greater than whatever we face. In Deuteronomy 20, in verse 4. I'm probably not going to finish everything. Deuteronomy verse 20, chapter 20 and verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies.
Hallelujah.
To save you.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua. Joshua 1. We can go
he
there.
He did that for the Maccabees, didn't he?
He sure did. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Yes.
And just as the temple of God was holy, and all the holy things that were in the sanctuary, so our bodies are God's temple.
Yes.
He lives in us. We are called to take care of and honor God's temple. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy.
That's right.
Which temple ye are.
Mm.
We are to use our bodies and spiritual gifts to accomplish the will of God for our life.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God.
You know, I think about this, the beauty of all this too, what we did in Daniel. It happened 408 years before it ever manifested. He spoke it.
Thank you, Lord.
It's incredible.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton and Miss Margie, and we just bless you and we thank the Lord. A lot of Christians celebrate Hanukkah as well, you know, because they know the truth.
That's right.
So we just pray that you would just have a blessed day. If you'd like to come and fellowship with us this afternoon at 2 o'clock, you're welcome from 2 to 4 o'clock or so at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida. The telephone number is area code 772-285-7007. We're just blessed to be here, and we say
Shabbat shalom.
Sabbath peace and rest.
Rest to all of you. Amen.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.